6. We're going to have a big potluck lunch for everybody that day, but we're also going to be distributing books for free to every family, everybody that comes in that day. Every person will get a copy, and then we will kick off on the 13th. So I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about this. God is going to do some great things with this material, the story. This ad appeared in the local California paper recently. Rancher lost dog, blind in one eye. One ear has been partially shot off, has a severe case of the mange, has a broken tail, was recently castrated and answers to the name of Lucky. Obviously, his name doesn't live up to his life, does it? What's in a name? Shakespeare asked that question. When we hear certain names, we think of something. It reminds us of something. When we hear the word Shakespeare, we think of poetry. We think of plays. When we hear the word Hitler, we think of evil. When we hear the word Judas. Originally, Judas was a good name. Many people, Jewish parents named their child Judas because of Judas Maccabees. We just got done celebrating Hanukkah yesterday, as a matter of fact. They were finished. And it was a popular name until Judas Iscariot came along. Now we associate the name with the word traitor. Beethoven, Mozart, we associate the name with music, beautiful music. What comes to your mind when you hear the name Jesus? What do you think about? Today I want to talk to you about the power and the victory that we have and the forgiveness and salvation that we have in the name of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I join Morris in what he was praying about earlier for these precious families that were affected in Connecticut. And Lord, we just want to pray that you will send your people as messengers of comfort and peace to these precious families that were affected. We ask, Lord, that as only you can, bring good out of this situation. Today, Lord, I thank you that there's power in your name. There is power to change our lives, power to make a difference. And I know all of us have brought our collective struggles and problems into your house today, and we just pray today, Lord, that you will help us see that there is hope and that there is peace and there's forgiveness found in the name of Jesus. In his precious name, we pray. Amen. What does your name mean? A lot of people don't know what their name means. My name, Christopher, means one who bears Christ. I like that. Kind of a neat name. Teresa's name means harvest. It meant a lot to people in Tanzania. Sarah's name means mother of nations. So what does your name mean? It's interesting, in Jewish thought, parents would name their children something that they wanted to see in their children. Every name is special. Every name is significant. Isaiah means, the Lord is my salvation. Elijah means, the Lord is God. They would name their children as a way to say, this is what we want to see in our children. But what about the name of God? What about the Lord? He says, I am Yahweh. That is my name. Yahweh means he who causes things to be. Kind of appropriate name for our God. He is special. And his name signifies all he is, his character, his plan, his will. All strung up in what his name means. And it's interesting that the name Yahweh is so precious and so dear to the Jewish people. Many, they have elected not to even say the name, because they revere God's name so much. Instead, they say Adonai, or they use the word Hashem to mean the name. In fact, the Masoretes were a group of men who devoted their lives to the copying down of Scripture between 100 AD and 1000 AD. And they had such reverence for the name of Yahweh that they would, anytime they came in Scripture to the name of the Lord, they would stop what they were doing and they would offer a sacrifice because they feared His name. They honored His name. And maybe that's why the Lord says, don't take my name in vain. My name is precious. It means all that I am. When Jesus taught us how to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. What does that mean? It simply means that, Father, may the world come to honor and respect you for who you are. Because your name represents all that you are. When we come to the name of Jesus, though, in Matthew chapter 1, verses 21, and the angel is telling Joseph about Mary and her pregnancy, he says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Jesus' name encompassed everything about what he would do and what his ministry means. It means the Lord saves. It comes from the name Joshua. Kind of interesting that Jesus is kind of like a Joshua. He leads us into the promised land. But Jesus' name in Hebrew and Aramaic is Yeshua. And that's how he would have been called in the first century. Nobody would have said, hey, Jesus, because that's the Greek form. Yeshua is what they would have said. And it's a beautiful name. And it's something you can call Jesus today in prayer. You can say, Yeshua, we love you. We worship you. We honor you. So that's important, I think, to understand that the name of Jesus is a precious name. And it represents all that He is. Jesus literally split time in half. We look at our calendars and we look at B.C., which is before Christ, and we look at A.D., which is Anno Domini in the year of our Lord. Jesus literally splits time in half. And His presence on this earth ushered in God's plan to save all humanity and offer forgiveness for all who come to Him. So first of all, I want you to understand something about the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There's power in His name. Why? Because Jesus is in charge. He says in Matthew 28, as He was going back to heaven, He says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. To me. Not to a president. Not to the UN. To me. And this is why we can say there is power in His name, because He is the one who has all authority. In that day, He says, you will no longer ask me anything, for truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask, and you will receive, and your joy will be complete. Isn't that interesting that whenever we pray in the name of Jesus, because Jesus is the one who has all authority. And there's power in the name of Jesus to change people's lives who are hopeless. How many people do you know in your life who've struggled with drugs, who've struggled with alcoholism? How many people have you met in your life whose life was just an absolute mess? And because of the power of Jesus Christ and His name, they are changed people. You're listening to one today. You all know my story. Jesus Christ has the power to change any human being that comes to Him. And that is the power of His name. Change lives who are hopeless. When I think of a hopeless life, when I think of somebody, there's absolutely no way that this guy could have been helped. I think of Jeffrey Dahmer. We all know the name Jeffrey Dahmer. In 1994, he made headlines. Why did he make headlines? Because they found 20 bodies in his apartment that he had personally eaten. He was a very sick individual. And I remember using him as an example at the time I was doing prison ministry in Murfreesboro. And I would tell those guys, those inmates, even if you were Jeffrey Dahmer and you came to God asking for forgiveness, He would forgive you. And I remember those guys saying, oh, I can't believe that. Well, guess what? Jeffrey Dahmer is a member of our church. In Wisconsin, there was a minister in a very small congregation near the prison where he was. 90-member church. He went out there, started corresponding with him. Went out to talk with him several times. Had Bible studies with Jeffrey. And Jeffrey's heart started to change, and he suddenly wanted this God. He wanted forgiveness. He wanted to know Jesus Christ. And I know he struggled with the issue of forgiveness. Who wouldn't in his situation? But this minister assured him and told him, you know, the cross of Christ is enough to forgive sins. It is enough to wash away anybody. There's no sin too strong for the blood of Jesus to wash away. And Jeffrey Dahmer was baptized in a whirlpool at that prison. And he became a changed human being. He wrote all 20 families asking for their forgiveness, telling them, I'm deeply sorry. I hope you will forgive me for what I did to your son. He became a model prisoner. He began to pray. He began to read his Bible. He began to go to worship every day. And 6 months after his baptism, he was murdered in the shower stall. Now, the question everybody wants to ask is Jeffrey Dahmer in heaven? That's not the question to ask. The question to ask is there any reason why he could not be in heaven? And there's not. Because there is no sin too strong for the blood of Christ to wash your sins away. I don't know what you've brought into this house today. I don't know what's going on in your life. But God will take you as you are. He will wash. He will change your life and give you peace. And He can forgive. Because Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. It is enough. It is enough. Holidays are a difficult time for people. Maybe you're depressed today. Maybe you're thinking about family. Maybe you're struggling with loneliness. And by the way, the best thing to do when you're lonely is to serve. Is to start serving others and helping others. And you suddenly get out of your box and start to realize, hey, there's other people that have other problems too. And I don't know what you've brought this morning here. Maybe your marriage is on the brink of divorce. Maybe you're struggling in your relationships right now at home. Maybe you feel like there's no purpose and meaning for your life. Maybe you feel like, you know, my family is a mess, and I can't, my job's a mess, and I just can't get anything. There is power in the name of Jesus to change the situation and to give your life hope, to give it peace, to give it joy. People worry about the future. They worry about their health. God is driving. He is in control. So my point to you today is when we call on the name of Jesus in prayer, we are calling on the one who has the power to turn mourning into dancing, David said. He can take your tragedy and he can turn it around and make you full of joy. He can bring good out of tragedy. I don't know about you, but I saw that Friday or whenever that was when that tragedy happened at that school. And I just like, God, what is going on in this world? Why are people doing this, you know? And I wanted to say, Lord, I know you didn't cause this, but I know that you can bring good out of this. And He will. Look at the September 11. Do you know how many good things happen out of September 11? We will never fully know. But I can tell you there's enough to write several volumes of people's lives who were changed because of that tragedy. God will give us the grace and the strength to deal with difficult circumstances. He will. Ask Him. Say, Lord, I can't change. I can't do this. Ask Him. Ask Him. God has the power to forgive and remove guilt. Don't you want to lay down on your bed at night and lay down on that pillow and you've got peace, you know you're forgiven, you know if you die, you would be in the arms of Jesus in the morning. There is no greater drug, there is no greater feeling on this planet than to know that you are forgiven.
Amen? The guilt is gone. It's gone. Christ has that power to change your life. There's also power in the name of Jesus over Satan and his demons. Satan and his demons. Then Jesus went to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, on the Sabbath. He taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In the synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon and an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet." Literally, it's "shut up" in Greek. He said sternly, "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Isn't that interesting? Demons know who Jesus is. And their text in Luke says, they came out of, the spirits came out of the people saying, "You are the Son of God." They know. They know who Jesus is. And it's interesting, when his disciples went out, and they were 72 by this point, they said, "Even the demons submit to us in your name." There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. Paul encountered the same situation when he met a slave girl. And he said, we're on the way to prayer. He said he met a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God who are telling you the way to be saved." She kept this up for many days, and finally Paul became so annoyed, I love it, that he turned around and said to the spirit, "In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her." And at that moment, the spirit left her. There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. My good friend, Dan McVeigh, who was a missionary in Ghana for 20 years, told me this story about a man named Lawrence. Lawrence was from a typical family in Ghana. He worshipped his ancestors. He worshipped many different gods. And his family wanted advice, so what they do is they go to the witch doctor. The witch doctor provides not only a service to the community, he offers advice on many different things, he or she, by the way. Witch doctors can be male or female. So Lawrence goes to this witch doctor and says, "You know, I want to know the direction my life must take." And he goes, "I'm thinking about becoming a Muslim." And what was interesting was the witch doctor spoke to the spirits, and the spirits said, "Yes, being a Muslim is a good thing." And then Lawrence said, "You know what? I heard about this other religion. I've got a guy named Jesus Christ." And immediately, the spirits left the room. And the witch doctor could not call them back, and he got really irritated with Lawrence because he brought up that name. And this intrigued Lawrence so much that he said, "You know what? I want to find out who this Jesus guy is." And today, he is now an evangelist with the Churches of Christ in Ghana. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's also victory in the name of Jesus Christ. Victory. Paul says in Romans 8, and it's interesting, he uses four rhetorical questions. And whenever you ask a rhetorical question, you expect an answer. And all the yellow sentences here that are underlined are the question. And they all expect the same answer. No one. So what I want you to do is, after I read the yellow sentence, I want you to say real loud, "No one." Right? "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?"
No one.
"He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen?"
No one.
"It is God who justifies. Who then can condemn?"
No one.
"Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?"
No one.
There's victory in the name of Jesus. You know why? Because he is the one that's returning one day. Every eye shall see him, even those who pierced him. every eye shall see. And this is what they shall see. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows about but himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. John tells us the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That Word is Jesus. He is coming one day. He could come today. Are you ready? If Jesus Christ were to come today, are you confident you'd be in heaven with him? That's the eternal question. We need to be able to answer that question. And the message of Revelation in two words is simply this: we win. And that's the message we need to know and hear after like a tragedy of Friday. We need to know that there is some sense in all. You know, God is taking history somewhere, and he is in control in spite of all the chaos. And in the end, we win. Evil will not prevail. It will not win. We win. And as Tommy read this morning, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Basically, what that is saying is when Jesus walked among this earth, he did not cease being God. He is God in the flesh. Literally, God, he poured himself into a human body. But he did take the very nature of a servant. That's an astounding verse. Being made in human life, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Every knee shall bow one day. It's not going to be hard to bow in his presence, because we are going to be in front of pure holiness, pure righteousness, and pure love. Perfect love. Get ready to bow down, because it's coming. Every person that has ever lived since Adam and Eve are going to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the name that is above. Did you know in heaven we're going to get new names? Yeah. You don't like your name now? Guess what? You're going to get a new one. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it. No, only to him who receives it. Interesting. Doug, you're going to get a new name. Guess what? Jesus is going to get a new name too. To him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven for my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Sounds like you're all going to get tattoos, doesn't it? Kind of. I don't know. It's what it says. But it's interesting. I find it very interesting. There is forgiveness. There is salvation, there is victory, there is power in the name of Jesus. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. You know why Jesus Christ can save us? Because he is both 100% God, 100% man. He can be my bridge to God. He can offer me forgiveness. There's no other name in heaven that can save me. And as we close today, I'm going to finish with Revelation 20, the great judgment scene. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were open. I don't think they're literally books. They may be. But I think it's to tell us that God is all-knowing. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. Yes, the Lord knows who are his. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. The question you need to ask yourself today is your name in the Lamb's book of life? How does one's name get put in the Lamb's book of life? By putting our trust in Jesus Christ, by saying, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He has all the characteristics of God. He is God. I believe that. And I'm going to put my trust in Him to save me from my sin. I am a sinner. I'm lost. I cannot save myself. And I'm ready to put my trust in the finished work of the cross. And the Bible calls us to repent, which means to make a 180, to stop going our way, which is what sin is, and go God's way. God calls us to come to Him with a heart saying, I trust you, I need you. Baptism is where we begin that relationship with God, where we are born again of the water and the Spirit. Maybe today you're ready to do that. That's the greatest Christmas gift of all. After all, it's all about Jesus. Maybe today you just need the prayers of the church here. You're going through some kind of trial or struggle. Hey man, no one's going to throw stones at you today. We're going to love you. We're going to encourage you. We have shepherds here that will pray for you. We want to pray for you, whatever your need is. Won't you come and stand?